Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another installment of Monday Night Live. I hope everyone had a great weekend and a great Monday start to this week. So again, we have been talking about humble as a dove and prideful as a raven. I hope everyone has been enjoying this topic, and we're going to continue that this evening with our live discussion, the Q&A. So everyone, if you can, just get someone on the phone so they can enjoy this along with us. Again, humble as a dove, prideful as a raven. Without further ado, I would like to introduce Mr. Carr. Mr. Carr, the table is yours.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Chavree. So, y'all, we're getting ready to get into tonight's call. We're doing some Q&A, some questions and some answers and, you know, some spiritual food. So I do hope that everybody's prepared. I hope you get a chance to invite somebody on the line tonight. Okay, because we always want to have a good time, and I hope everybody don't take that for granted. Sometimes it becomes so cliche-ish where people just hear it and don't do it. You got to actually hear and do. Hear and do, that means that's when we start to listen. Okay, anybody can hear a sound. You ever notice how somebody hears sound? Your husband, your wife, your husband hears sound? Hope it's not your boyfriend. Y'all in the bed? And I hope it's your husband, not your boyfriend. Or somebody. But your husband. And he hears, but he don't move. What kind of man is that? He don't get up. Well, what kind of Christian are we when we hear something and we don't move?
Right.
I mean, it's time to move. All right. So we're talking about some humility and we're talking about some pride. Closing out the week. Okay, our week begins on Wednesday, Bible study, and we close out on Monday. Some good Q&A. But before we get started, we're going to pray. So, Ms. Chavree, do you mind praying for us, please?
Yes, sir. Everyone bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. Thank you for bringing us today, bringing us together to hear this awesome topic again. And we open up our hearts and minds to receive everything that will be said today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're talking about doves with humility. We're talking about some ravens with pride. Is Mr. DJ there? Mr. DJ, you there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing this evening?
I'm all right.
Doing wonderful, man. We got to be doing more than all right. We make it do what it do.
That's right.
Yeah. You know who you serve. But with that being said, give me a little synopsis of your week.
My week, you have to, first of all, being as prideful as a raven. It seemed like that's the easy part because we are born into this world and our spirit is not lined up with God automatically. What I mean by that is you're going to take pride. The raven part is more flesh-driven. You're going to take pride in yourself. It's very difficult to deny yourself and to just say, you know, this is okay. You want the best for yourself. But what we need to do is keep that pride, but make it be pride for God. We need to be soldiers for Christ. The dove, the humility part, that's the part that's hard. That's the strength, the wisdom, and the word I want to use is patience. You got to have patience. That's something that we lack because this world changes every second. Every second, some new technology is coming out so that we don't have to do what we're supposed to do anyway. But there's no new technology for the Bible other than to read it. I mean, the same prophet Moses, the same prophet John, the same Christ, all those people that read, they haven't changed. Just a different way to tell the story. But we have to be humble. And when I say humble, we're humble people. You have to deny yourself. You have to put others first. You have to follow Christ and do what he said. Follow his word. Be obedient and patient. But now when Christ tells you it's time to move, then you need to move. That's the way that is. So that's where that whole dove and raven come from. When Christ tell you to strike, when he tell you to stand up, that's what you're supposed to do. Okay? Otherwise, yeah, you know, you can be humble. You can be deal with humility. I mean, you're supposed to be that way, but when it's time, you know, the Bible even tells us there's a time for everything. But when it's time for you to be a soldier, then he needs us to be a soldier. That's what I'm saying. Just because you're at peace don't mean you're weak. That does not mean you are weak. And if we're supposed to be his people and his soldiers, then we got to show up and show out, represent. That's what I got it from this guy.
Okay. All right, so we're starting off already. And we got a whole panel here tonight, y'all. We're going to ease on through this. We have Miss Janice, Miss Shabree, Mr. DJ, Miss Tiana. Now, I know one of y'all caught one thing, and somebody should have kept step up. One of us should step up. Something Mr. DJ said, and correct that. So I don't have to do all this. Nobody caught it?
No, sir, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all go ahead and sit down. I might need to do this by myself. Mr. DJ said we need to keep pride.
I said we need to keep pride in him, in God, not keep pride to ourselves.
Ain't no such thing as pride in God. Because the Bible says God is not proud.
Okay.
None of y'all caught that?
No, sir.
No, sir.
That's sharp. We got to be sharp with it. You can take away my vision, but you can't take away my hearing. There's nothing, there's no such thing as pride in God. It's called humility.
That's right.
Okay? We can't be trying to be clever with words to where we see what happens is we start to lose people because they think their pride is okay. Pride is never okay. Let me take it to the Bible. Can somebody pull up 1 Corinthians 13? Love is not jealous, boastful, nor rude. Love is kind. Love is patient. It is not proud. Now, proud, pride, that's a derivative of one another, right?
Yes, sir.
It is.
There's nothing about pride. Pride comes from the flesh. It's flesh-driven. It's carnality. People are so prideful, I even had a conversation. I'm sharing the word of God, but remember the Bible says this, y'all. Does ravens, watch this. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice, but a stranger they will not listen to. Y'all know the flip side of that, Miss Tiana? The flip side of that is this. If they don't know my voice, they'll listen to the stranger. In other words, God becomes a stranger to the one who doesn't know him.
Right. All right.
Now, when you know, now when you encounter a stranger, you will call a stranger everything that it very well may not be. I had a conversation, Ms. Shabree, and the individual told me, well, that's your opinion. And I said, I'll back mine up with the word of God. Let's do this. Not as an argument, but let's go ahead and say, because I want to help you. That's your
right.
opinion. How is the word of God an opinion? That's somebody that does not know God.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, I need you. Ooh, it's starting already.
Come on.
See what pride does? Huh? Pride erases God out of the equation. Can I show y'all something about ravens and doves? Remember the Bible says this. The Bible says before we take up our cross, we must first
deny ourselves.
Wow. Deny ourselves. If we have pride in God, Mr. DJ, we'll start putting, if we don't see God in the situation, we'll throw everybody away because we'll say it's, but see, God, he came to not throw people away because, see, he said how you love him is how you love them. In other words, he posed a question. He said, how can you love me, someone you have never seen, yet you can't love your brother that you see on a day-to-day basis? Having pride in God would cause you to be religious, meaning I put God first, but you never do nothing for people.
Right.
All right.
Oh, we just had a question last week. Because if I don't see God in that woman or that man, I ain't going to Are you serious right about now? So how you serve God then if you don't have people around you? How you serve God?
All right.
So we'll become religious fanatics. We'll start throwing the word around, but with no power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How do you know that a flashlight got power if it's daylight? How do you know that? Uh-oh,
right.
Did I miss that? You only know if you have power if you're shining in darkness, right?
Right.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to bring it to you how it's supposed to be brought. Right? This is what religion looks like. Religion says, God say we must first deny ourselves, then take up our cross. Religion say, I'm going to follow God, although I'm still under construction. My God, my God.
All right.
Oh, I'm about to tell it, Miss Tiana. And so now what we do is we become hypocrites.
Right.
Because we act like the raven, and the raven is stubborn. God said do A, then B, and C. We do B, may come back to A, C, and then get to A.
All right.
Because of pride. So we'll say I'm under construction, yet I'm taking up the word of God. How can you enforce a word when you have yet to deny yourself?
Right.
All right.
Now you start practicing what Mr. DJ just said, pride in God. Because you didn't do step one, which is denying yourself. In other words, address you before you can ever address God.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to tell you how it's supposed to be done. See, then we start practicing religion. See, religious people, they know the word of God, but they have yet to deny themselves. This is why they will badger you with it. Because if they deny themselves, they will consider themselves when they're talking to you, and they wouldn't be so harsh, now would they?
No, okay. They wouldn't.
Y'all quiet on me tonight.
Come on.
That's all right.
So y'all see where religion is born? Religion is when people go get the word of God, but they have yet to do step one.
All right.
Huh? Religion is when people don't take the shower, but they put the cologne or perfume on.
Right.
y'all know how disgusting that is, right?
Yes, very.
Mm-hmm. So that's when religious people start saying, well, that's your opinion. In other words, they know the word of God, but they have yet to deny themselves to even see God in it.
Okay.
See, knowing the word of God and living the word of God are two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
Though the commentators can know the game of basketball, but how many of them actually can play it?
Right.
I need y'all to hear me now. See, this is why it's called humility in God. When you have humility in God, Mr. DJ, you're no longer a commentator, because when you have pride in God, you commentate from the stands. Oh, no. But when you have humility in God, you come out the stands and you get on the playing field.
Right. Come on now.
All right.
See the difference? Huh? Because when you have pride in God, you just talk about God. But when you have humility in God, you live about God.
Right.
All right. Pooch.
Hello, somebody?
Right.
Because anybody can tell anybody anything. But how about we show them? How about that?
Okay.
You remember the Bible said he had to humble himself? So you know humility is an action.
Yeah.
Hello? Humility is not you saying God come first. Humility is an action. Much like love
all
is.
Right.
Hello, somebody?
All right.
Huh? And if humility is an action, you know pride is as well.
That's right.
That's right.
Because pride says, me, myself, and I don't want no more kids. I only want one. But I thought you was married.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You don't even care about the other person. Well, I ain't married, Mr. Carl. What if? But you want to be married. Yeah, I do. So how are you considering only yourself?
All right.
Well, you're just going to have to accept mine. But you done did your stuff, your due already, so you want them to accept what you bring to the table. But I thought everybody wanted their own.
Hmm.
All right.
Okay. Boy, the decisions we make, huh?
Yes, sir.
No, ravens don't think. outside of what they can see right now.
That's
right.
Okay.
Doves, Ravens. Y'all know that Ravens, I did some studying up on Ravens. You know that Ravens are they adversarial birds, predators. Ravens actually attack their prey. They go at the eyes first. Y'all know that?
Mercy. Yes.
They go at the eyes first. Ravens go at the eyes first. Come on, y'all. If you go at the eyes first, you take away their vision.
That's right.
Y'all hear me? Pride go at your eyes. Why do you think pride go by how you feel, how you see things? That's your opinion. Look at it.
All right.
Ravens go, Miss Tiana. Ravens go, Mr. DJ. Ravens go after the eyes. Pride goes after your eyes. This is how you know who starts to operate and who's been attacked by ravens. Uh-oh.
Come on.
Uh-oh.
That's good.
Uh-oh. Because where there's no vision, my people perish.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. Ain't that something? They attack the eyes. Y'all know that? Ravens, pride attacks the eyes. Go research ravens. That's what they do. And it's funny. It's amazing. Isn't it profound? They attack the eyes. Because if I can take away your vision, I can take your body as well.
Come on.
Y'all don't hear me. See, the vision is your identity. If I can take your identity, you know how people say, I've never been with that person? Baby, you don't have to physically be with them. You're lying anyway. Because, see, if they got your mind, if they got your vision, they got your body. It's only
That's
a matter
right.
of
time. That's right.
Why you think Satan goes after the vision? He just used the flesh. He go after your eyes.
All right.
What he told Adam and Eve? Did God really say that? He was going after their vision. Think about
right.
Raven. And look what he used. He used me, myself, and I, pride.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand? Y'all hear me? But here's
yes,
the thing
sir.
About it, Mr. Bree, Mr. DJ. Here's the beautiful thing about pride versus humility, the raven versus the dove. Here's the beautiful thing about it. Satan, what he did know. Okay, you can go after my eyes, Satan. Oh, my. Let me say this right. I want to say this correct. You can go after my eyes, Satan, but you can't go after my ears. Because, see, a real prophet, a real Christian, I'm talking about real humility, don't need eyes. I don't need to see. I walk by faith. All I need is my ears. You can't attack my ears.
All right.
I just missed that.
Yes.
Because the ears, that's what allows me to listen. And be obedient.
All right.
Lord,
that's right.
All
right. If Stevie Wonder can be great and he can't see, how can you be a Christian and not be great?
All right.
Let me go ahead and move forward. So, y'all, we're doing our Q&A tonight. All right? Some Q&A. Let's rock and roll. All right? Star 5, if you want to chime in, have a question you want to add on, or you just want something repeated. Okay?
Mr. Carr.
Uh-huh.
Can you just clarify something? In the title, Be Prideful, is there something like and, but, nor, or for before you say also be like a raven?
It says humble as a dove, prideful as a raven.
Right. If you had to put a word before that, prideful as a raven.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now I think it's just a comma there. So should it be humble as a dove and prideful as a raven?
No.
Or?
No, it's actually humble as a dove, .. prideful as a raven. I mean, I don't want to get into the logistics of that. That's neither here nor there. We're just making a point. So don't get into the semantics of stuff that we shouldn't have to pause on. We're just making a point.
No. What I'm saying, so we shouldn't be prideful as a raven. Is that what you're saying?
We should not.
Correct.
So it's saying humble as a dove, prideful as a raven. I'm showing you one extreme to the other extreme.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So
it's humble as a dove, prideful as a raven. One of them we shouldn't be doing at all.
Right. Lack of comparison. I got you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And see, this is why the Bible said God reigns on the just as well as the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
God would use a raven to supply for his people. So just because you have the blessing don't mean that it's for you. You might be the supplier.
Ooh. All right. Okay, now.
I'm about to go there. Didn't you say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Just because you started the business and you say, I'm in God, but you're living wrong, don't mean it's for you. It may have been that you opened the door for somebody else. Boy, I ain't about to make it.
All right. Now, come on. Come on.
Well, I'm going to take you to scripture tonight. I'm going to take you to the scripture. So don't get mad at me. Well, that's it in the Bible. Where's it in your heart?
All right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
All right.
You see it all the time with athletics. The scouts came there for one person, but they end up with Mr. DJ.
Yep.
You understand?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That is called Southern hospitality when ravens open the door for you. Ain't that so?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
All right. First question, here we go. Mr. DJ, here we go.
Okay.
The first question says, how can people say they are Christ-like, meaning like a dove, yet all you see from them is the attributes of a raven?
That's a conflict. I mean, people can tell you that they say. You don't have to believe them. You are known by your actions. I mean, if you keep saying, I'd rather you show me you're a Christian than tell me any day. Because you can say whatever. You know, if you're supposed to be Christian or Christ-like, but yet you're doing a lot of things selfish, oh, no. I can't believe you.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I've often had a question about, you know, this. Yes, we talk about doves and ravens, y'all, humility and pride. You know how people always say, Mr. DJ, I'm under construction? You remember the Bible says, if a man don't work, I do believe the rest of it, Miss Tiana said, a man don't eat.
That's right.
Correct.
If you're under construction, I don't believe you're working. Hold on, boy.
Right.
Come on, talk to me now.
All right, now.
Let me ask that question again. If you're under construction, how you working?
All right.
They talk about the wrong work.
Boy, look, this be that stuff that get people to thinking. If you under construction, how you fully working? So if we're not working, how we eating from God if we always under construction? Mr. Carr, hold on, ain't nobody perfect. But didn't God tell you to be perfect because he's perfect? See, perfection does not come in the way that you see yourself. Perfection comes in the way that God sees you. See, if you actually go ahead and give it all to him, see, when he says, be ye perfect because I'm perfect, in other words, he's saying, let me have my way with your life.
All right, now.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to simplify it for us. Keep it simple, stupid. All he is saying is, let me have my way with your life. Your will should be written out to me.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
We tell him, when you die to yourself, who's the heir of what you just wrote? Okay. Give it back to God. Since that's your will, give it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Guess what you got to first do? Die to yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we can't be under construction then talking about we working for God. Let's get back to that question. Miss Tiana, I ain't forget about you. The question was, how can people say that they are Christ-like, meaning like a dove, yet all you see from them are the attributes of a raven?
I personally believe it's because they believe they're doing God's work but not living it out.
Mm-hmm.
There are many Christians who are in the church, may even have a quote-unquote position, but it doesn't mean that they're actually acting or living a righteous life.
Mm.
So they're quick to say it, but not realizing, or they do, I don't know, that many of their attributes are showing otherwise.
Okay. Mr. B, real quickly, how can people say that they are Christ-like, like a dove, yet all you see from them it's pride. What you got?
What I would say, they operating in pride. To them, they think they're acting like a dove, but they have the actions show they are acting like a raven. So they being deceitful or misleading, being manipulative, but they don't see anything wrong with it.
Mm.
So a lot of people don't see anything wrong with it. They justify everything. So they think they actually operating as a dove, but they're not. They have their ravenous ways.
So you're saying when we're saying I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind, that ain't right.
No, that's not right.
Now she acting like she ain't saying that song though.
Well, Mr. Carr.
What you got, Mr. CJ?
Those are the people who praise God thoroughly to themselves. They can quote the Bible up and down, but they can't teach or reach anyone.
Okay.
In other words, they won't. I don't want to say they want God all to themselves, but they're not doing anything for their fellow man. They're using that pronoun I did this. I did that. I don't know if many of us are probably too old to remember the Smurfs, but there was a gentleman on there with glasses named Brainy Smurf, and he always would say, I was right. And he never did anything to help anyone else. He was always concerned with himself. So when you pry up like a raven and you're supposed to be representing Christ, that's not the way to do it.
All right. I like that. Let me add one to you. When you pry for like a raven and we're professing God, yet our lifestyle is like the raven, like pride. We professing humility, but our lifestyle is like pride. Instead of wearing the S on our chest, we wear the I on our chest.
Hmm.
And we bust our spirit open a lot of times and say, you don't know who I am?
All right.
Y'all
that's
know
true.
We don't need no telephone booth. All right. Ms. Janice,
uh-huh.
Real quickly. Y'all, we're talking about humility and pride. Okay? Humble as a dove, as prideful as a raven, for those who have just logged on. How can people say that they are Christ-like, meaning they're humble like a dove, yet all you see from their lifestyle is nothing but pride?
They are not operating in Christ. They're not Christ-like. They have not denied themselves. As everyone has stated, it's the pride is the I, the me, the my. So, and as Shabri stated, and I agree with her, they think that they are operating in Christ, and they are not operating in Christ. They're operating in the natural, in the flesh, and not in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just no way that you can be in God and you have all this pride and you're acting like a raven. Everything is all about the raven. And like you say, you're clawing people's eyes out. So you're not in Christ.
Mm. Ooh, yeah. See, that clawing people's eye out is manipulation. In other words, you don't want them to see the truth. You want them to see what you want them to see. And what you do is you take the truth away from their vision. You can't take the truth away, so you blur that vision by poking them in the eyes. You claw their eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all.
That's
anybody
right.
Ever been there?
Right.
Because we can't stop the truth, but we can gouge the eyes.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
Huh? And we replace the E-Y-E-S with the eyes, like the I, capital I. Apostrophe.
All right.
Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Next question. I'm going to start with you real quickly, Ms. Shabri. When does confidence become arrogance?
Oh, okay. Confidence become arrogance when it's all about you. You're the important one. Like, being confident in yourself, like you're self-assured about something. But then when you arrogant, it's all about you. It's what I can do. We're going back to me, me. So it's all about you. So that's
okay.
What I say.
Okay. Miss Tiana, when does confidence become arrogance?
When there's no God in it.
Right to the point. Okay. She said that confidently. Or was that arrogant? Okay. Let me see your face. All right. Here we go. Mr. DJ, When does confidence become arrogance?
I'm going to agree with Miss Tiana, but I'm going to use another word. When it's too familiar to you. In other words, you take God out of it, and it's all about you.
Okay.
That's when it's arrogance, when you are too familiar with whatever's going on.
I love this question, Ms. Janice. I'm going to get to you with it. When does confidence become arrogance?
I think confidence becomes arrogant when you feel that you have finally arrived and you think that you have arrived on your own. God is nowhere in it. We have to understand that everything that we do, everything we have, just our whole being is God. It's God working through us, and everything is God. So I think the confidence is arrogant when you just feel that you've ascertained and arrived, and it's just you think you have done everything on your own, whatever the case or situation may be. You think it's all you.
I like that. Confidence, all those are right. Confidence becomes arrogance when we move on our own beat. When we move because we can.
All right.
Right.
See, arrogance says that I can do it, and I know I can. Confidence says I know I can do it, but I won't without God.
Right.
All right.
Y'all don't hear me. See, we become arrogant.
All right.
Boy, I'm about to show y'all arrogance that we didn't think there was arrogance. Women, we become arrogant when we say, God, you're taking too long, so I'm going to go find my own man. I got to put myself out there.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Right.
Somebody, your girlfriend set the page up for you. You going to let your girlfriends make you arrogant?
Come on now.
Right.
Mr. Carr, that's not arrogance, because arrogance don't look like that since when?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You want to know what arrogance looks like? As a matter of fact, do you know what God looks like? See, Satan will try and hide himself just to be like God.
You're right.
Arrogance is when you move on your own. Because God, you're not doing it quick enough, and you're not letting me, see, I want to go get Miss Tiana so bad, and I got to tell her. So I'm going to tell her what I got to say, but did God tell you to do it? Well,
right.
I'm blessed though, Mr. Carr. That ain't no blessing in that.
All right, now.
That's arrogance. In other words, God, you're going to have to forgive me. God don't have to do nothing. So you're arrogantly approaching the throne and say what he's going to have to do. You're putting a mandate on God. Confidence becomes arrogance when we lose our mind.
All right.
Come on.
You lost your identity to think that you can tell God what he's going to do.
Right.
All right.
Because we'll put ourselves, subject ourselves into situations, and then pray about it to God that I need your help. Wow. We arrogant because we say God's going to have to forgive me. Arrogant.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
I'm going to do what I do, but God's going to forgive me on Tuesday. Arrogant.
Mercy.
Huh? In other words, there is no arrogance without knowing what God can do. Because, see, you can't be arrogant in your own strength. So God has showed you something, and Satan then manipulated what God has showed. In other words, Jezebel took over you, Ahab.
Right.
You got power, but arrogance is nothing more than misguided power.
Peach.
Huh? Oh, power don't mean that you have the physical ability. It's just a mental stimulation that says, I know who I am. But here's the problem. Huh? You started to look at yourself as opposed to looking at God.
All right.
Right.
But then you have people who have no confidence, not even in God.
Mama.
So arrogance is when people know they got power. They know who they are. They know he's their father. But they use that and abuse it. Because I know who my God is. Don't you set your parents behind down as if he's not their God.
Right.
All
right.
So because he's my God, I can talk to you any kind of way. And see, that confidence has translated into arrogance. The very thing that God will spew out his mouth.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all see? Arrogance is rebellion. Do you not understand that you can be arrogant and even not know you're being arrogant? Because when you rebel against God, in other words, you do understand that you can rebel against something that you don't even know is good. Because, see, a lot of times we'll say, well, if I had known there was you, God, I wouldn't have rebelled. Do you have to know it's God? Shouldn't you just know his goodness?
Right.
All right.
Oh, Lord, y'all miss what I'm saying. See, if I'm old school and I listen to old school music, anything other than old school, I rebel against. See, I don't need to know what type of genre of music it is. I just rebel. In other words, when you in God, anything outside of God, you rebel against. But when you're not in God, when you see something that's unfamiliar, you rebel against it.
All right.
Right.
I'm talking about humility, people. Because it takes a humble soul. See, pride says, I ain't studying the word. Humility says, I'm not only going to study it, I'm living. Because, see, when I live the word, I don't have to do all that studying because I become the word. My God.
Come on now.
My God. I'm going to say it again. You have a whole bunch of Bible scholars that ain't about that life of living it. They can quote the scripture, but they can't live the life.
All right.
How many books have you read? But how many of them have you actually lived? Come on. How many shades of gray? How many is it?
All right.
Huh? I'm asking a question. Well, how many shades of gray is it? That book?
50. Well, 50 shades of gray.
50 shades of gray? You see what I'm saying? But we like to live that fantasy thing, right?
Right.
All right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We like that. And see, what we do is we'll promote arrogance, and we don't even realize it. It's not the fact that we don't like to read. We just don't want to read the things of God.
Right.
How many books have you read that's outside of the Bible? We'll get a verse here and there and then say what Pastor said, as if it's wrong, Pastor's going to get in trouble. No, you're going to get in trouble. Because if we have pure confidence in God, we'll stay in our lane and do what God tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, how he tells us to do it, and how long to do it, and to whom to do it to. In other words, if God told me to go check my mama because mama did wrong, I might got to go check mama. But Mr. Clark, the Bible says we should honor our parents. Honoring and checking us, seeing this is God using me. That's not disobeying my mother. That's not dishonoring my mother. That's doing exactly what God told me to do. The thing is, you can never comprehend nor define who God is if you're not in the house. You don't even sit at the table. So why can you say the definition of honor? How?
All right.
Right.
You don't sit at that table right there, so you would never understand it. Not would you? Because if that was dishonor, why didn't did Jesus dishonor Mary? Because Mary told him, hey, turn that water to wine. Jesus said, wait, woman, this is not my time. Go read your Bible.
All right.
So he would be a hypocrite, huh?
Right.
He was not no hypocrite. So we really don't even fully know who God is. Talking about, oh, my God. Y'all see it? So if we don't understand confidence, you know arrogance is our next step, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Because when you don't understand confidence, that means you don't never depend on God. So it's okay for mama and daddy to raise you independent because I'm an independent woman. I'm an independent. Will you sit down? How independent are you? Because without the job, you're not independent without your money, right? And guess who you need for your money? Consumers. So how independent are you? Man, I mean, come on. Even if you're an entrepreneur, how independent are you? You always will need somebody else. So sit down.
That's right. Come on now.
We independent, though, right?
Right.
How you get to work with that car? Who built the car? You didn't.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go. See what I'm talking about? Right. No, let's go ahead and get to the root. Because I want to take the raven out of us. And put what's supposed to be in there as false humility. In other words, see, there's nothing nothing independent about God. Not one thing.
Right.
If it was independency about God, he would have never came for us.
That's right.
Because how could God show his glory basking through us if there was no humanity? How will we know how strong God is, lest there be a miracle? In other words, when it's out of my hands, something I can't control, my confidence has walked at me. In other words, God would take our natural situation, and at the brink of, hey, it can't work, God, he steps in. We're about to say, whatever you can't do, he can. It's called a miracle. Ain't that something?
Right.
So what's so independent about God? Because he still needs us to perform.
Oh, yes.
He's not heaven straight already. So he needs, y'all see it?
Oh, yes.
He has to wake up too to show his power. Hello? When does confidence become arrogance?
All right.
God has his way. When we don't let God have his way, we are being arrogant. Because we're telling God, I am independent of you.
Mm. That's right.
Y'all don't hear me, huh? Because we think that arrogance is, you know, is one of those things where we put on display, Mr. DJ. No, arrogance is when we reject God and we do us. That's arrogance.
All right.
As if mom and daddy gave us life. You really think that? You really think
right.
that? Hmm. Okay. Let's get to the next one. Real quickly, I'm going to go with Mr. DJ and Ms. Tiana on this one. Mr. DJ, can you be a raven? Meaning, can you operate in pride and still deliver, or shall I say, share God's word?
No. No, you cannot.
Okay.
You can't share. And,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying you can't straddle the fence with that. And that's that clarification. Either you're going to operate in one or the other.
Okay.
So if you're operating in that one, no.
Okay. Oh, Ms. Tiana, what you got?
I disagree. God can use anybody to deliver his word, to share his word. So you can be a raven and share his word. He used, what's his name? Who betrayed Jesus? He used him to share his word. And he definitely was a raven.
Mr. Peter.
No. The one who turned you over.
Judas,
there you go. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to throw the next two in. Miss Janice, who you agree with?
I would have to agree with Tiana, because Judas did betray Jesus, but God can, even in the raven stage, acting as a raven and just being prideful, God can still deliver the word in that stage, because he's used plenty of people to do that. Now, the raven is not operating in the spirit realm. I want to get my words correct. The raven is not operating in the spirit realm, but God can still use them to deliver the word, and someone will receive that word.
Okay.
And that's really not the word that I'm looking for, but
it's
I hope
okay.
everyone understands how I'm trying to say it.
It's okay. Okay. Ms. Shabree?
I say he can, because, like, who was that? I think
can
was it play. Paul?
Who you agree with, Michelle?
I agree with Tiana. I'm sorry. I agree with Tiana, because they can use a raven, because Peter denied him three times, but he still used Peter. So, you know, they can use them. They can use a raven, because he turned into a dove. So,
all right, can you read 1 Kings 17:4 for me real quickly? 1 Kings 17:4. 1 Kings 17:4. 1 Kings 17:4. What does 1 Kings 17:4 say, somebody?
From the King James Version, it says, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there."
He was talking to Elijah. He commanded the ravens to feed Elijah right there by the brook.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn to Matthew 4:4, the Bible says, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So when God feeds mm-hmm. you, he ain't just giving you bread. He's feeding you the word. So you mean to tell me that raven delivered the word of God to Elijah?
All right.
Sure did.
Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. Can you be a raven, meaning operate in pride and still deliver, / share God's word? Absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes, you can. remember the Bible says, in the day of judgment, people are going to say, Father, I cast out demons in your name. I hear
mm-hmm.
your name. Uh-huh.
That's right.
And you're going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, just because you work for me, Raven, don't mean that you're going to spend eternity with me.
That's right.
Right.
And they did it in his name.
That's right.
In other words, if God can use us and we openly say we're not perfect, we still under construction, why he can't use somebody else?
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
That's pride 101. Because we're the only raven that God can use, huh?
All right.
Y'all don't. Oh, boy, everybody quiet now. How you got that big old nice job position, that nice family, and you a raven? So you telling me God can't use a raven?
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
Absolutely. Right?
Yes.
He can use a raven because one part of it, catch it, y'all. Catch it. Huh? Even with the individual who's in office. You don't think that's God's? Yeah, that's God's work.
All right. All right.
See, look
at
God's word coming to pass. Look at how God delivers his word through anything.
Right.
All right.
Mr. Carr.
Yes, sir.
Here go your confused son again. I thought the question did not say what can God use. He can use any and everything that he wants. But if you operate in selfishness, you're not operating in God. And God commanding you to do something is different than you operating on your own selfishness.
He can still use you even when we operate in selfishness. Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. But if you operate in selfishness, then you ain't doing nothing for God.
You are. Satan, believe it or not, Satan still works for God. Remember the Bible says all things work together for the good of those who obey God? All you have to do is be in God.
Right.
Everything that's opposing God still works for God and for your good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It still works for our good.
All right.
Because without the loss, who will we be winning?
Right.
Right.
Without darkness, why would we need to shine?
Right.
All right.
You know, if everything was already preserved, there would be no need of salt.
Truth.
Right.
Okay. So God uses those who still operate in pride. How? Because if we didn't have a before picture, Miss Tiana, I need your attitude to be right. If we didn't have a before picture, how could we have an after? So I need the before to make not only myself but other people believers. Because when I show you my before physical picture and you see the after picture, you're going to say there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right.
Nope.
But if I was already in shape and had great DNA because I am God's product and I'm always perfect, you wouldn't think that you can even reach heaven because I don't. I can't communicate with you on that level because we can't
all
relate.
Right.
Hello? Why do you think that Jesus came in the form of flesh like that?
To show us.
Absolutely, he can use a raven and still deliver God's word. Because here's the thing. God wants you to look at the inner, not the outer. In other words, Pastor, you know how many people say that person wrong and they crooked and I'll never go back to that church? But it's funny how you won't go to that church, but you'll go to that job, even though that man or that woman, that CEO or that boss is crooked. Now, they ain't even in God, but you will defend them and say how you know they ain't in God. Well, Pastor tried when he was out there with a pastor. You don't know what your CEO did last night. Now, do you? The whole point people chase money. They don't chase God. That's why they'll defend their CEO. That's why.
All right. All right. Speech.
Huh? If we don't need to be on the panel, we need to be on the panel now. I can pick up spirits now.
Come on.
Right.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah,
we'll defend CEO. How you know they ain't in God? Look, we say it all the time because we love, which one of the restaurants close on Sunday? Come on.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. They say because they close on Sunday. They say it now. That's where we at now with this world. I'm not saying
that. Right.
But why would you put somebody else down just because Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday so everybody else not? Seriously?
All right. Jeez.
Come on now.
That's you don't think that can be a marketing strategy as well?
Right.
Of course.
Oh, I'm not about to go there, you're not. Because they know who to get who religious, huh? Because Chick-fil-A is just like going to Kirkland's. The price is darn near the same.
Come on.
And that's a fast food restaurant. Ain't that so?
That's right.
Oh, man, let me move around. Can God, can you be a,
can
I'm sorry, huh?
No, you had mentioned, you said something, but there are those on the call who didn't hear that earlier this week, that how Jesus came down and in the flesh he was a raven, although operating as a dove. Am I missing that as a great just teaching moment there?
Yeah, you didn't shot an air ball on that one, baby. Hold on.
I was like, no, because the flesh.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing. No, he was never a raven. He came in the form of flesh.
He wasn't. Yeah, he came in the flesh, and the flesh represents raven.
No. Check it though. Jesus didn't sin until he got on the cross. The raven represents the epitome of sin, because God wouldn't tell us to be perfect. Because he's perfect, yet he wouldn't even told a woman, hey, go this day and sin no more. He wouldn't have told her that if she, just because you have flesh don't mean that you're a raven. Flesh don't make you the raven. When you follow your flesh, makes you the raven.
All right.
You know, in the Bible, I think it's in Hebrews, I think it is, y'all, when the Bible says only fools follow their hearts. Don't follow your heart. The Bible says to leave your heart. Because if you follow your heart, you're going to follow your feelings. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Right.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. So now you'll begin to be a raven, and you'll think it's okay because somebody told you to follow your heart. Oh, hold on. I got to do this.
Come on.
DJ, Ms. Janice, I got to do it because I don't want anybody to challenge the word of God. Hold on. I type fast, y'all.
Oh, it's all good. That's what we're here for, Bible study.
Huh?
That's what we're here for, Bible study. Get it straight.
Okay. So the Bible says, can somebody read for me Proverbs? That's what it was, Proverbs. Proverbs 28 and 26.
He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered.
To trust in your own heart is to follow your heart, correct?
That's right.
Yes.
That's
right.
Say it one more time, please, Miss Tiana.
He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered.
There's a difference between wisdom and your heart. In other words, there's a difference between the dove and pride. Pride will make your heart fumble around. See, pride says, ooh, I want her, I want him, I want that job, it's I, me, mine. That's pride, that's your heart. But wisdom says, God, who do you want me with? Where do you want me?
All right, now.
Right.
See, Satan foolishly tried to follow his heart. And he thought about it, and God kicked him out.
All right.
Y'all do know that there was no foolishness in heaven. He gave a thought, and he got kicked out.
Right.
Huh? So can you be a raven and operate in pride and still deliver God's word? Absolutely.
All right.
Because, see, you got to learn how to separate the yolk from the rest of the egg.
Right.
Okay.
You understand? You got to understand.
All
you
right.
got to separate the two people. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
That's extremely important. Okay? Because what will happen is, Miss Janice, Miss Shabree, Miss Tiana, Mr. DJ, people look at our sin and say, we're not equipped to deliver the word of God. But God doesn't do that. So God will force people's hand. In other words, if you're really in God, you'll stop looking at the people out of shell, because you know how the world always said, you can't judge me, but it's funny how they judge people. The same people that say, you can't judge me, they always judging people.
All right. See.
Because they want any excuse to turn away from the word of God. In other words, if you error one time, you're no longer equipped. Well, that's a lie. They can't tell you what you can and can't do. No way. See, God is so good that he will force our hand. I'm talking about even to the spiritual people. I'm talking about the people who are in God, the dove people, the humble people. God will force your hand. In other words, watch this. God will use something corrupt just to test you to see where you are. Because if you know God's word, you know how to get the word from that thing which is corrupt. Oh, my God. Oh, I know I'm talking on a whole nother level now. Oh, I'm talking on a whole nother level now. Huh? It's funny how, you know, drug dealers and thieves and people who steal money, they can go and bury that money in dirt mud. Huh? Thousands of dollars. And they'll still go back and get it because it ain't the mud. It's the money that was in it. Huh?
All right.
Yep. Yep. Right. Yep.
But we so Christian, we so religious, what we say is if it ain't wrapped right, we don't want what's on the inside. This is why a lot of people didn't know who Jesus was. Hello?
Right.
Bingo.
Right.
Bingo. Because of their pride, they missed the dove.
Uh-huh.
Don't let the pride allow you to miss a dove. In other words, just because, Lord, see, this is why it's good. See, when you start to operate in dove-like mentality and dove-like life, the spirit of the dove, the spirit of humility, you know, even when it's a raven, you say, I see the best in you. Lord, have mercy.
All right.
Did y'all miss that? I see the best in you. In other words, I know how to separate your outer shell from your inward shell because I know who God called you to be, and that's how I'm going to handle you.
All right.
Amen.
Now.
Teach.
Hello?
Yes.
Somebody.
Yes.
That's why I'm still with him, Mr. Carr, because I see no, baby. That ain't the dove. He been so good that one alone.
That's a quote.
So they need to have an excuse, Mr. Carr. You got about three or four knots up on the head talking about, yeah, that's why I'm still here. All right. Y'all with me, though?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Real quickly, Mr. DJ, this is for you. My sister has a cheating spouse, yet she continues to forgive and stay with him. Am I acting out in pride when I say I want her to move on and leave him? Hashtag hurt her and I hurt you. Uh-oh.
Oh, my.
I'm going to be human and say, no, you're not acting out of pride. You
shoot.
Need to go to her in love. You know, and if that's your opinion, I mean, you can either share it or keep it to yourself. but you need to go to her in love and let her know, you know, this brother, or better yet, just show up where he at and be like,
no,
oh,
she needs to sing him all lane.
I promote that violence. That is Mr. DJ. Find him on Facebook. All right, here we go. Mr. B, my sister has a cheating spouse. Yes, she continues to forgive and stay with him. Am I acting out in pride when I say I want her to move on and leave him?
Yes, acting out in pride because it's I. It's she for herself. You're not even thinking about your sister. You're thinking about her, yourself, I mean. What's going on with her and her spouse, that's her decision. She might have been seeking God. I don't know. But when you say I, yes, you're acting out in pride. Stay in your own lane.
Wow. Lord. All right. Ms. Denise, you have the question. What you got?
I'm like Sheree, stay in your own lane. Because as I think I might have said last week, you know, she keeps forgiving her spouse, that's her spouse. And once you get your family involved and then they make up, the whole family still mad at the spouse and y'all done made up. So let your sister consult God and whatever God would have her to do. So you sit your little pride self down and let your sister have her own business.
Okay. Miss Tiana, real quickly, what you got?
I would say yes, because that's what you want her to do. And it's none of the sister's business.
Uh oh, Mr. DJ, hold on.
Yeah,
what's this question right here? I got to step in. Got to step in. Who knows who you are? Because they boy, they tripping. Mr. DJ, I'm right with you. Not in the sense though. The Bible says it this way, y'all. Humility. When you see your brother, you see your brother in error. Go to them in love and restore them. Lest she be tempted and fail. You cannot see error and ignore it and say that's not my business.
Oh, my God.
Because that's a weak, that's a weak, watch this. There's a weak person when you see a woman getting beat up and you don't move on it, sir.
Right.
She's seriously getting beat up. Now, whether she listens or not, That don't mean I don't like you, because if she was doing the wrong, wrong is wrong, right is right. That don't mean I'm taking a side, but I am taking God's side. See, humility says, no, that's wrong. Now, what you do with which the information you got is on you.
All right.
All right.
I'm not impeding when I can see it. Oh, my God. Because how could I be a messenger from God if I don't deliver it? Uh-oh.
All right.
Amen.
Teach.
Come on, y'all. This is what we're here for. Because ravens say that ain't none of my business. But does say it's how you approach it, meaning when I approach it in God. Because maybe somebody needs the opportunity to get it right.
All right.
Okay.
Right. That's right.
Y'all, that's fair?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's move. Okay. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana. It's commonly misunderstood that being humble is equated to being passive and, shall I say, weak. Can someone please explain the difference?
Oh,
let me say it again.
Yeah.
It's commonly misunderstood that being humble is equated to being passive and weak. Can you please explain the difference?
Absolutely. Being humble is all about being patient. It's all about being not focusing on self, but focusing on what it is that God has for you. So if he tells you to be still, you be still. Now, being passive and being weak is your choice. You're not even taking into account what God is asking you to do. You are choosing not to do whatever it is that's in front of you. So that's the difference between the two.
Okay. Ms. Shabri, it's commonly misunderstood that being humble is equated to being passive and weak. Can you please explain the difference?
I agree with Ms. Tiana with that. Humble, of course, when you're being humble, like you said earlier, a view of God, righteous self, you know, humble with yourself, but being passive, it's all about allowing what happens, you accepting or allowing what happens to happen. You just going along with it. If they say something, you'll just agree with it, and you're being weak-minded. So, you know, that's what I have to say about it.
So you're saying you accept what people say as being humble?
No. You accept what people say as being passive or happens. Humble, you know, like humble with yourself being sure of self. A right view of self. Let's put it like that.
Okay.
Right view.
All right. Mr. DJ, what you got?
People mistake quietness for weakness, and we shouldn't do that. That'll often get you in trouble. A snake has no legs. The lowest thing to the ground. Don't weigh a lot. You got this big elephant that weighs a ton, or even the ferocious lion. Let that snake bite him, and they'll show you how weak that snake is. In other words, to be effective, you don't always have to be loud and boisterous. Oftentimes, that quiet power is the power that you really, really have to look out for. When you go to work, you got people on your job that talk. My dad used to say, an empty wagon makes a lot of noise. Them people don't have no power. But they talk. You think they running everything. The big boss, the one who's over everything, that's the one that don't say much. Might say hey, might say bye. But that's the one who has that power. So whenever you're tranquil, have humility, you know, those characteristics, those traits are very, very strong in discipline. You know,
okay.
Self-discipline, which is better than anything else you can name.
Okay. Real quickly, Ms. Janice, what you got?
I don't think, repeat the question one more time.
It's commonly misunderstood that being humble is equated to being passive and weak. Can you please explain the difference?
No. I'm going to say that That is not a sign of being passive and weak. We are to be humble and loving and kind. And I'm not going to say that when you're humble and you're operating in a humble spirit and being meek and mild, that that's being passive and weak. It's not being passive and weak. You're operating in the spirit that God has ordained us to operate in.
Okay. Okay. So here's the thing. How you know, here's an example. People say, what is your biggest flaw? And look at what they say their biggest flaw is. I'm too nice. How is humility a flaw? I'm too forgiving. I'm too loving. So now Jezebel, the flesh, has manipulated us.
All right.
Remember the Bible says, the last days people will do wrong is right and right is wrong.
Right.
NBA
boy and Lil Boosie is right.
All
so
right.
That's why I don't trust the ministers. They wrong.
All right.
That's right.
We're paid to go see them, but we won't give a tithe in church because I don't know what they're doing with the money. But they smoking weed, right? With your money, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's commonly misunderstood that being humble is equated to being passive and weak. Can somebody please explain the difference? Here's the thing. Humility is not weak, but the flesh will always proceed differently than what the spirit says. This is why the Bible said the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So the flesh want to get back because God called me weak, so I want to make everything he say weak.
Woo! Teach. Right.
Y'all can't let that go over your head. Y'all can't let that go over your head. The flesh is swinging back at God.
Yeah.
Because anything of God is strength and strong because it requires that I'm not using me. It's not my life. Have your way, God. And it takes a strong person to yield to God. My God.
That's right.
Y'all didn't hear me, right? It takes a strong person to yield to God. That means I get permission. I don't care about you asking your husband. Yeah, I'm asking God about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling them about everything, too. See, some people don't like that type of relationship, yet they want to hashtag flesh relationships, relationship goals. Why don't never hashtag the relationship goal that David had with his daddy? Because David danced. And see, some people thought David was a punk because he wrote poetry to God and he sang and he danced to God. But see, that same punk that you thought David was, check it out. Didn't he kill lions with his bare hands? Oh, yes, he did. King David. Didn't he kill Goliath and wasn't scared with no shield? King David. So how are you going to call him a punk and weak?
All right.
Right.
Ah, Lord. Huh? We done forgot? Or should we be reminded? Don't take God's kindness for weakness. Humility is never weak. You better ask Satan.
That's right.
Because if his humility was weak, why you got kicked out, Satan?
All right. That's right.
Oh, Lord. The weak people allow it to, the foolishness to say. Strong people send it on its way.
All right. Peace.
That's why you're still in the relationship that you shouldn't be in. Because you're weak.
Mercy.
Lord,
Miss Carr.
Yeah, what you got?
We have a hand raised.
Come on. What we got?
Go ahead, caller.
With the passive and weak, I've been listening and thinking about what everyone is saying. But to me, I said that passive and weak is when you do what you want to do and you don't care about God's way. And being humble is walking in God's authority, where you no longer need validation. You no longer, there comes a time when you forget about being popular and what other people say, what matters. You get to the point in your life where what God says is what matters. So that's the only person you need validation from God. So a person who's humble can walk in the spirit of confidence, which we've been talking about tonight. A person who's humble can have a spirit of confidence and walk knowing that I am who I am because I'm walking in God's authority.
You know what? I'm going to give you a spiritual hug on the phone because she did it better than I. All right. That's absolutely correct. There it is. There you go. That's the only validation.
All right.
That's the only validation you need. Can I help somebody out with this one? Check it out.
All right.
Yes.
The dove, prideful as a raven. Boy, I'm about to rock the room. I know people might get mad at me. I told you I got my security now. He can hear good, too. DJ, catch him now if they swing, okay?
Why?
You know you walking in pride when you say, time will tell. You know you walking in pride when you say, we'll see. You know you walking in pride when you say, well, God, give me a sign. You walking in humility. I don't need to see the sign. I heard what you told me. That's the only validation I need. I don't need confirmation, no disrespect from you, Mr. Bree. I don't need confirmation, no disrespect from you, Mr. DJ. You even, Mr. Neese. Y'all don't need it from me. The confirmation is what I already heard. When I hear his voice, I believe him. If I got to hear it through somebody else, that means he wasn't good enough. God will meet you where you are. Hold on, I'm going to say it openly. God will meet you where you are. If you tell your child to do something and they ain't believe you, and that the other child had to tell them to do it, that means your first word wasn't good enough.
All right, teach.
Right.
See, when you walk in humility and you need validation from God, that means no matter how it looks, that, oh my goodness, Mr. DJ, if God called us brothers, that means no matter how it looks, Mr. Carr can be the prodigal son. You would never give up because he already spoke and said we was brothers.
All
right. Lord have mercy. Y'all missed that? Some people, because of ravenous pride, they let their, oh my God, they let their destiny walk right on away because it don't look like, it don't act like everything that God called it to be. But it's funny how God never gave up on us. Ain't that something?
That's right. All right. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Hey, ain't that something? See, we need a lot of people validate stuff through their eyes. But if you really believe in God, you are validated through what you already heard. That means I don't care what my eyes tell me.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. You know how many blessings we done missed because it didn't start off right? Or it started off right and it went to the left? And we say that must not be for me. I'm looking for signs. Well, I don't look for signs. I heard what God already told me. See, that's humble,
right.
And that is strength. It don't matter how many people call you stupid. If you heard it from God, stay right where you are.
All
right.
Right.
Indeed.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that's not opinion-based. Uh-oh. Can a raven and a dove ever successfully marry, yes or no? One word answer. Miss Tiana?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. DJ?
You got to come back to me.
Okay. The typical people justify what they did, but I'm just messing with you. Mr. Reed? Mr. Bree, you there?
Oh. No.
Ms. Janice?
I would say yes and no.
No, please.
But
let's pray for one-mindedness. Go ahead.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, yes, okay. Mr. DJ, what you got?
You said, can they get married? The answer is yes. Will it be
no, can they successfully? Can they ever? Can a raven and a dove ever successfully marry?
No. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Not successfully, no.
No.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. They can get married, but they can't successfully marry. Success is when
right.
Heaven is screaming. Heaven is
right.
Example. That's success.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you ever want to be successful, God has to be pleased with you.
Right.
And remember, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So a raven and a dove can never be successfully married. They can marry, but they can't be successfully married.
Right.
You understand that? See, if we operating in ravenous stuff, oh, God loves us. But how that marriage is successful when we actually become his bride in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right.
The Bible says, be equally yoked, not on the same level, same direction. In other words,
right.
God wouldn't tell us to do something that he doesn't, okay? This is why some men ain't going to hell, because the Bible says that the road to heaven is narrow. Few will find it, but the road to hell is broad. Many will travel it. All right.
All right.
Last question of the evening. I know this is going to be the one. Y'all be short with y'all answers. I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds. Okay? Go. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana. The question says, I have two children whom I have full custody over, Am I being prideful by not wanting them to be in the presence of a father who is unstable?
No. You said keep it short.
I said you got 30 seconds. Don't try to slick that one over now. I said you got 30 now. And your ground. Explain yourself real quick.
No, because you're choosing, say what the father is again. I'm sorry. Repeat the question.
Unstable.
An unstable father.
Mm-hmm.
See, if it's unstable, I don't know unstable in what. I'm thinking unstable in mind, unstable in so many different ways. That's where I would say no, because you want what's best for the child.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's a loaded question, y'all. Yeah. All right, Mr. Bree, you next. I have two children whom I have full custody over. Am I being prideful by not wanting them to be in the presence of a father who is unstable?
I would say no, you're not being prideful because he's unstable. So, and you're putting the child's welfare first. So that's why I would say no.
Strong. Ms. Denise, what you got?
If he's unstable, then no, you're not being prideful. He has to have some stability because the unstableness could be anything. I mean, being unstable, he can harm the children. So I would say that, you know, you're not being prideful.
Okay.
Just looking as a mama bear, you're just being protective of your children.
Now, y'all do know that her answer may be a little skewed because she done been on the Maury show. What was that, Judge Mathis or something?
Maury, you are the father? Oh, no. Oh, Lord.
Well, hold on. I'm lying. What show was that, Ms. Lee?
Judge Hatchett.
Now, that was back in 1982, but still, you know that. That was cassette tapes out. It was by, you know, we heard it by radio. Okay. Mr. DJ, I have two children whom I have full custody over. Am I being prideful by not wanting them to be in the presence of a father who is unstable?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. No, you're not being prideful.
Okay.
What you're doing is being what they call a parent.
Right.
Not proud, but a parent. And that goes without saying, you know.
Yeah, this is a loaded question, and we're going to close it out on this one, then we're going to pray, Ms. Janice. It's loaded because of this, Ms. Tim. Don't know the mindset of the parent. Because although people can do things, the right things, a lot of times, or sometimes even, let me say that, being fair, they have ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I can tell you no, and it's only because I don't like you. But no was the correct answer, but still my motive was different. You ever seen somebody that say, well, you're not equipped for the job, and they was happy you didn't get it?
All right.
Yeah. Right.
Listen to the question. I have two children whom I have full custody over. Am I being prideful by not wanting them to be in the presence of a father whom is unstable? Here's the first question. Why was you laying down with that unstable person?
All right. Teach. Teach. Teach.
To have two.
Teach.
Laid down twice.
Huh?
All right.
Laid down twice.
Teach. I don't like this kind of teaching.
Y'all understand? So it's loaded. Hey, I'm not swaying one way or the other. What I'm saying is, you know, for good reason, of course it wouldn't be prideful when you have the best interest of the God to protecting them children.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Correct.
Right? But you got to make sure you're in God, too. Because even with that being said, what are we doing to make sure that the relationship works in the first place? Because, you know, we'll say, you know, oh, no, they can't. But what are you doing to make sure? Because, you know, by right, it's both of y'all's, not just yours.
Right.
Right. Peach.
I know a lot of people don't like this because we want to do away with the other person, but it's a decision that we made.
That's right. That's so right.
Mm-hmm. We want to create the new mother or the new father. Right?
True.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Right? And what ravens do, they manipulate. You got to be
right.
Careful. Well, I don't say nothing bad about the father. I don't say nothing bad about the mother. But see, the golden rule says do. The silver rule says I didn't do nothing wrong. The golden rule says I can tell you what I did right. Now tell me what you did right, ma'am.
All right.
Because let me show you something. A double-minded man is unstable in all thy ways. Can I help y'all out? Cool. I'm glad you said it. I have two children whom I have full custody over, God says. This is God talking. Am I being prideful for not wanting them to be in the presence of a father who is unstable, meaning that marriage that's unstable? A double-minded man, in other words, how can God trust you with something when you're unstable?
All right.
Uh-oh. Did we kidnap?
Okay.
How we got custody? Because I thought we were supposed to give him back up to daddy. We ain't talking now.
Speech. Huh? That's right.
Because he ain't the only unstable one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Huh? Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Hmm? In other words, we should be trying to bridge a relationship of some sort. Meaning, we got to get on our giddy up because this is a decision that we made because we hooked up with something that was unstable. Mr. Carr, he wasn't or she wasn't unstable at first. Cool. Here's the thing. What happened to discernment? In it.
All right. All right.
So, with that being said, we got to see the God or whatever it's going to be. And let's say, hey, we have an obligation now. You can't
That's
make
right.
them. Oh, no, you can't make them. No. You can't make them. But you have to do your darnest because now you have something intertwined in this whole thing, in this picture.
That's right.
You understand? It has to be a constant thing. It has to be a constant reminder, hey, we have kids. We ain't on, hold on. We ain't on that level. We have kids. For the betterment of the kids. Okay? We got to be, you got to be on the up and up.
Right. That's right.
And you never know who may allow God to win them over by your consistency. You don't know. That don't mean y'all ever get back together. But you do not know. Because instability is not just from the one who appears to be unstable. It's also from the one who's not in God that's unstable as well.
Right.
All right.
Y'all follow me?
Yes.
Okay. So are you being prideful? It depends on your intent behind it, the intent behind it. All right. Okay, if it's driven by God, absolutely not, because it's driven by love. But don't enforce love over here when you ain't enforce love over there. In other words, we'll enforce love over our children's life, but when did you enforce love over your own life? Why did you give Satan custody over you?
Right.
Hold on, y'all didn't hear me, though. You don't want them to see that father, but why you let Satan see? Why you flirting with the devil?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let us not be a hypocrite, because we'll tell our children in a minute, do as I say, not as I do. But see, kids don't hear that. They see that.
That's right. All right.
Let us go ahead and pray, Miss Denise.
Let us bow our head and close our eyes. Father God, we just come to thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come boldly before the throne and just to praise your name and worship you, O God. We thank you for the word on tonight, O God. We thank you for opening our hearts. And Father God, we just thank you right now for our leader, Mr. Carl, God. We just ask that you would just continue to touch him and crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, O God. We ask that you would just touch everyone that was the participant on the call tonight and those that listened in on the call tonight. Father God, just allow us to be humble and have a spirit of humbleness and meekness and allow us to just have the mind to just want to serve you and do what's pleasing in your sight, oh God. And Father God, we just thank you again. These and all blessings we ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all have a great night. And make sure you lift up your loved ones in prayer, okay? Make sure you lift up your leaders, whether it be your politicians or whatever. Lift them up in prayer.
Amen.
Lift up one another in prayer. Okay?
Amen.
It's important. And prayer is not what you say. Prayer is what you do. You listening to God. Lift them up.
Amen.
All right? Y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all Wednesday on Bible study.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.